Hello and good day, everyone. Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer MTG format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I'm joined by my co-host, as well as a special guest.
My name is Ryan Schwenk. For all you listeners out there, I am the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan. And our guest.
And do you want to introduce our recurring guest here?
Yeah, so we're joined today by Jonathan Medina, long time first Pioneer friend.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be back with you guys. I guess I have Rebound, right? I just keep coming back. Wait, is Rebound in Pioneer?
Yeah, we've got it from Dragons of Dark of Tarkir.
All right,
yeah. It wasn't on much. It was on the Narset, and that's about it.
Okay, we're on brand then.
Perfect. Yep. Yeah, so yeah, we've had you for the last couple of set reviews. I think that you've added a lot of good input. You know, I just went back and listened to that set review again recently after the Companions ban to be like, okay, what were all those things we were excited about before Companions took over the format?
How did we do? How did we do? Because I feel like we did awful. Like, I didn't listen to it, but I feel like I particularly did bad. But
I felt like we weren't bad. I think on Companions in particular, we were realizing real early on how powerful they were. You know, we called some of the decks being like, oh, you know, I bet Mono Red Obosh could be a thing when no one was talking about Obosh. We talked about the Gyaruda deck before that really had any kind of legs. So I think we did a decent job there of saying that Companions would be broken before everyone fully realized it. And then they were the format for quite a while.
Yeah, I just remember being so surprised at how broken they were. You know, I mean, I think we realized, okay, yeah, some of these will see play. Like, I realized that. I don't want to speak for all of us. But then, like, just how, like, they just took over every format. And I was like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I lost excitement for playing Pioneer competitively really quickly.
Oh, really? So I loved Yorian, so I was having a great time. You know, Yorian mirrors. You know, when you like almost mill yourself out in a Yorian mirror, oh man, that's my jam.
Like, you know, Brewing was fun.
I had a weird cooling off period with Pioneer as well. Part of it's the COVID crisis, which, because I was playing a lot of local Pioneer, I loved playing Pioneer. The other thing was Dimir Inverter. Like, that was my deck. I've been playing that for a long time. And I just realized, like, I'm not that great of a Magic player. And so what would happen is I would get into these Dimir mirrors, you know?
Dimirs.
And, like, I'm, like, good enough to, like, get to the point where I make one mistake or, you know, I don't want to be silly and say it's, like, one mistake that I can see. I'm sure I'm making lots of mistakes. But I would make a mistake and then just lose the mirror and be like, dude, like, I could see, like, I'm just not good enough, you know? And that kind of, like, killed my excitement because I was like, okay, you know, like, this is the best deck, and I can't beat the mirror reliably. I mean, I won some mirror matches or whatever, but, like, I can't beat it reliably. I don't feel comfortable in the mirror, and I don't feel comfortable playing any other deck against the Inverter deck, you know? So I just kind of have been like, eh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to jump back in and get all into Pioneer again or what, you know?
See, that's a very spiky way to look at it, is, you know, focusing on something like the mirror match and the real head-to-head play, whereas I'll just be like, oh, I don't want to play the mirror, so I'm going to go play Kethis combo because nobody knows how to play against that.
Well, I had weird decks that I like to play.
Yeah.
But like for instance, what's the the red enchantment, that Possibility Storm. I love that Possibility Storm deck, but again, you know, it's a fun deck to play, but when you put yourself in a position to win and then you're like, all right, the next three draws, I got three draws to win and I can get there. I can draw any of these, like, X cards, and then you don't draw them and you feel like, man, like, I put myself in a position, I played well, and now I just, the deck is not helping me, you know? And so, like, I just get to that point where I'm like, I don't want to lose with this deck. I'm like, it's fun when I'm winning with it, but it's just like a glass cannon. And I of course gravitate, I guess I'm more spiky than some, you know, I gravitate to the better deck, you know, or the deck that can win the game, slam the door shut or whatever. So yeah, I don't know. I have that weird look at it, and you know, it has, I'm hoping that some of these cards from, you know, 2021 will, add some new depth to the format. So looking forward to that.
I mean, all right. What I was going to say, what you said is exactly the reason why I just kind of gave up playing the top tier decks in the format, just because I know I'm going to lose in a head-to-head battle. So mm-hmm. that's why I'm always using the other stuff, the jank.
Well, we know our limits, yes. you know? That's yes. the great thing, you know? You have to understand yourself.
You have to play to your weaknesses.
All right, guys. Well, we got a little bit off track here right at the beginning, but I do want to bring us back to, we had mentioned it there for a moment, is that this is a set review episode. So as of recording this, we are recording this on the 16th of June. This morning, we got the full set spoilers for Magic 2021. And it's definitely a set. You know, we're going to use our usual spiel. We're going to go through, we're kind of going to go by color. We're going to talk about the cards that we think will really have an impact on Pioneer. You know, we'll try not to take too long on every single card. You know, we'll read some of them off if they're cards you're less familiar with. If not, feel free to take a look online and follow along if you're, you know, just getting into the cards, trying to get into the set. You know, we'll try and make it clear for listeners who are kind of new to the format, as well as for really deep in Pioneer players. We're trying to cover both of those. So what I wanted to do, we've tended on Wooburg order. Can I switch it up? Can we maybe start with blue and end with white? Just because, like, for once, I'm actually kind of excited about white, you know, in a new set.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
or maybe we can even go. Yeah, we'll just start with blue, and we'll go Wooburg. we'll do Wooburg, but we'll stay in Wooburg, but we'll start it.
Booburg.
Something like that. Blueberg.
All right. First of all, what do you think of the set in general? Like, this is stacked, right? This is like, is this best core set ever? Is that like...
No, 2020 had like 3 or 4 banned cards in it. It's going to take a lot for me to say that it's better than 2020.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You know, that's insane. Yeah, that's right. Interesting. So yeah, let's jump in. Blue.
You want to go first, Jonathan, since you're the guest?
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I feel weird because like I want to talk about. Let me see. You know what I'll talk about? I'll talk about this Stormwing entity.
Okay.
I like this card. So we got the red blue dragon that has like super prowess. In the last set, that was a standard card, right? I'm not.
Yeah. Fairy dragon.
Yeah, fairy dragon. Yeah. There's so many products.
Or Dorat the pet.
There's so many products coming out now that now I'm scared. Like, wait, what was that? A supplement? Was that a like whatever? You know. But anyways, we have that dragon, and then we have this card, and those two combined seem like some really great attackers for like a blue red prowess style deck. And of course, you have Swift Spear and. You know, stuff like that. So, I don't know. I think that this is really great rate, right? It's 2 mana for a... Well, first of all, I'll read it off since it's a new card. It's called Stormwing Entity. It's 3 and 2 blue, and it's a creature elemental. It's a 3/3 with flying, and it says, this spell costs 2 and a blue less to cast if you cast an instant or sorcery spell this turn. And then it has prowess. And then when it enters the battlefield, there's even more text. When it enters the battlefield, you get to scry 2.
Yeah, that's insane.
A little bonus text.
I like it. I don't know. I think, like, seems really cool. I mean, of course, when you look at the metagame as a whole, like, how does a red-blue prowess deck fit? Like, is it faster than, in Soul Artifact? Probably not, you know? But... it's cool to see that that deck is getting tools, and that's the kind of deck I like to play. So that would be something I might throw together for like a weekly, locally, to play some Pioneer with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about that card.
Yeah, I like it. Blue-red Pras has always done rather well. I think, I want to say at the first Grand Prix, it was like a blue-red Wizards, maybe? Like, was like top 8 of the GP or something? So yeah, this is right up that deck's right, alley. Maybe even we'll bring it back to tier 1.5, probably tier 2. But
is there any like zero cost spells that we can cast?
Oh, I wish, if we had Once Upon a Time, that'd be cool.
Yeah, like is there anything that like doesn't cost mana that would be
Ornithopter? No, wait, let's...
there's Trader of the Veil or Merchant of the Veil, something
yeah,
like that.
That's one.
Yeah, that's real rough, though.
You need something that, like, to enable this, you need something essentially that would be, like, zero to cast to make it really dumb, right? To make it really, like, busted. Because then you get, like, a, a turn two, you know, card. Or, like, if you cast a spell this turn, is there anything with suspend? No, not in this format, right? Like, because I'm thinking, like, suspend a Rift Bolt, and then you cast the Rift Bolt on turn two, right? And then you play this, you know. But you can't, I don't think you can do that here.
Yeah, not in Pioneer.
Mm. Yeah, just interesting things to think about, right?
So blue for me has got a lot of cards here that are going to be tough to decide if they're actually good, which for me means they're probably not good enough, but I'm going to go with kind of the face card of the set. You know, it is supposed to be a Teferi-centered set, so I'm going to talk about Teferi, Master of Time, 4 mana, 3 loyalty, and you can activate him on your turn and on each opponent's turn at instant speed. So that's pretty cool, but his abilities, he can draw a card, discard a card as a +1. He can -3 to a creature you don't control phases out, which just means it basically doesn't exist until the beginning of their next turn. And if you get to 10, you can take 2 turns after this one.
So it's draw 2 cards,
I'm
basically
excited about the card, yeah. Well, but you discard a card each time, yeah. So you're not getting any card advantage from him. His minus doesn't give any card advantage, it doesn't... You know, it doesn't even, like, get rid of... Like, they still keep the card in play, so they don't even lose the mana from it.
Mm-hmm. Terror creature, you don't...
I want to be excited about this card, but I do feel like it's probably less powerful than people first glance at it. You know, I'll try it in something. I think it's got a little bit of competition with, like, the 4-mana Jace. You know, just kind of mediocre blue... Planeswalkers, like, obviously blue planeswalkers on their own aren't that mediocre, but, like, as blue planeswalkers go, this is kind of middle of the pack.
Am I off base? Do you get to activate this twice, right?
Yeah.
You get to, like, play it, up it on your turn, and then you get the choice of upping it on their turn or phasing one of their creatures, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that seems like really good, because first you upgrade your worst card. Right, you play it, you upgrade your worst card in your hand, and then if they attack it, you can phase the creature out. So it's like a protection mechanism, right? And if they don't attack it, you could upgrade another card. So, like, say you have a land or a card that, like, a high mana cost card that you don't want to use or whatever. And then if you get to come back on your turn with it, it's going to be at 5, right?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say this also kind of speeds up the enchantment, the search for Iskanta.
Yeah, feeds search and any other things you want in the graveyard, right? It's kind of like a discard outlet.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe 2-mana Jace. Like, I'd love to try this with, like, you know, Jace, Riel, some things like that. I don't know if it'll actually be good, but it's definitely got a little bit of a value engine. It's not like obvious card advantage like some planeswalkers are. Yeah.
Does it go in like blue white control? Like, blue white is pretty big, right? It's like pretty big in Pioneer. Does it go in there? You know, I know one of the things with blue white is they're like, they draw sometimes a lot of the cards that they don't want to have in the matchup, right? And so, like, sometimes it would be nice to, like, draw cards that you do want in the matchup, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. Interesting. I think the fact that you get to activate it twice is one of those sneaky things, you know, mm-hmm. that it's just like maybe you don't realize how good that is. Not you personally, but like us. Maybe we don't realize how good that is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, you want to go next then? Or was that yours?
I just did.
Okay. Yeah. Then if you don't mind, can I do 2? Can I take, like, my turn and then start the next turn?
Sure, no
so
problem.
So I wanted to talk about the two spirits in okay. the deck. Sorry, in the sets. So we have the Ghostly Pilferer, which is a 2/1 for 2 mana, and when it becomes untapped, you can pay 2 and draw a card. And the other ability is whenever an opponent casts a spell from anywhere other than their hand, you get to draw a card. So whenever they play, how can you say, like, I don't know, Aetherworks or something like that.
Something from the graveyard
is another one, yeah. And then the last one, if you discard a card, it can't be blocked this turn. I think this is a good card for the spirits deck. It's decent power, not too hard to cast. It's card advantage whenever you attack with it, and you can keep on discarding your lands and all these other, you know, cards that you don't need from your hand. So
Yes, yeah, so I've played a lot of spirits, so I'll talk about this and the other one with you. I definitely think that there's some awkward things about this card for Spirits and Pioneer. The fact that when it untaps, you can pay two, it's good because the deck floods out a lot, but it's also awkward because you're a deck that wants to mostly operate at instant speed, and you're spending mana in your own upkeep, so that doesn't play that well together. Mm-hmm. The other big thing is that this does not have flying, which means that it isn't pumped by our best lord, Empyrean Eagle.
It would be like a different type of spirits deck then.
I think that this is a very strong card. I think on its own, this is a powerful beater in blue, which is something I love to see. It probably still goes in the spirits deck, but I don't know if it's only a spirits card.
Does spirits have a good long game? Because if not, this could be better, you know, when, you know, things go fast. Sorry, when things go longer than a few turns in.
Yes and no. I think that this would help with that. You know, being able to chip in for damage is nice. It doesn't want to have a good long game, but it sometimes can win races in the long game.
Okay. All right. And then the other one, if you don't mind me reading that real quick, Shacklegeist. It's one in a blue, flying, 2/2, can only block creatures with flying. Tap two untapped spirits you control and tap target creature you don't control. So it's got evasion and it's got tempo. Is this better than the Nebelhurst Geist? I think that was the name, Nebelhurst Geist one.
Nebelgast Herald.
Nebelgast Herald from, I want to say, Eldritch Moon?
No.
Yeah. I don't know if it's better. That's where I would test it, is in that slot. So, right away, so this is a 2/2 for flying spirit, which got me excited at first because a lot of the spirit's problem is that they are all X1s. Mm-hmm. But I think that means a lot less when you're not blocking ground creatures. So it can only block creatures with flying, so that means that you're not going to be just, you know, eating tokens, which is something that the deck already had problems doing. Mm-hmm. Now, this would be good if something's like creating a lot of blocking flyers, like if, you know, Whirler Virtuoso, or if there's something that's doing a lot of damage like Liliana or Chain Whirler that kills your X1s. But other than that, it's okay. And it can kind of, you know, you can tap two untapped creatures you control, so you can basically double block any creature with this without losing your creatures. Mm-hmm. That's probably okay, but I don't think it's quite as big of a tempo play as Nebelgast Herald.
I think it's better in the, what do you call it? Better in the mirror. Because there's going to be a lot of flyers there anyways, so you don't really lose anything.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't think it's better for, like, a number of reasons. Number one, you don't want to tap your creatures. You want to attack with your creatures. And Nebelgast Herald lets you do that because when you play it, you can tap something down, or when you play something else. I've seen a lot of situations where, you know, spirit players will set up their board such as they have a couple of one drops, and then they use the Nebelgast and the one drops to basically, like, just tap your whole team down, right? Mm-hmm. And then attack you for the win or whatever, you know? I guess you can do similar things where if you, like, tap them at the end of turn, right? Like if you flash in some spirits and then tap those to tap things at the end of turn and then untap and attack. But I feel like that gives you a lot less flexibility. The other thing is this doesn't have flash on its own. I mean, of course you can give it flash with other spirits, but the Herald has flash on its own. And so that can give you some of those tempo plays that you were talking about. I don't think it's better in my opinion. But
yeah,
you know.
I think the one place where I do like it is that probably the card I most want to be tapping as spirits is Uro. Like that's a card that really, really worries me. And I think this does do a good job at letting you shut down Uro while still racing them in the air. I don't know if, like, Nebelgast, sometimes if you just miss on a turn, you don't have a spirit to tap it down, then you're just done. Because, you know, they get that value, they get that card gain life.
So maybe it's better like as a split, like a 3/2 or something like that.
Unlikely. I think I'll probably still go with Nebelgast Herald, or maybe we'll put the Pilferinner in that spot and hope to have another way to stop Uro, but
that's a good point about Uro, because you can hold it down. And then if they have a removal spell, it doesn't really change things. It's a weird situation, right? Because, like, you're going to want to tap the Uro down, so you need two spirits, and then you need an attacker as well. And so one removal spell just makes it so that they don't attack they don't tap the Uro. But you are right, like, if you run out of gas, and sometimes that happens with spirits, I find, like, I have not played a lot of spirits, but I've played against it a lot, and I see one of the ways that they lose is they just run out of gas, and, like, you know, they're holding up a Spell Queller, you know, and that's all the only card they have in their hand, you know, and you know it, you know, because you're like, yeah, it's a Spell Queller. So,
or they've got a Supreme Phantom just sitting in play as a 1/3 flyer.
Yeah, yeah. So I could see where, you know, leaning on the Nebelgas, leading on drawing spirits, because sometimes you might need to tap the Euro and then just draw land, and then you're like, okay, well, now we, you know.
Did you guys want to finish up blue? Because I'm good. Those are only two cards I wanted to talk about.
I'm not super interested in anything else that we have listed there.
Yeah, there's a couple of instants that are, you know, big bomby instants. You guys can look them up. Maybe they'll see play, but there's nothing that's clear about them that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's exciting. But you don't think Baron deserves a mention? I was excited about this card, but maybe less so now.
It's... I just don't know where...
He's 3-mana, 2/2, bounces a creature or planeswalker, and if you bounce something you controlled, at the end of every one of your turns, if you bounce something you controlled, you draw a card.
Yeah, I don't know where it fits in Pioneer, like, as a card. Like, it's not a blue-white control card. The tempo deck is, like, the spirit deck that we just talked about, which this does not fit in. If there was a Wizards deck, like that blue-red Wizards deck, then this thing is probably pretty, like, housey in that deck.
That's true. Or he's also a human. I mean, if we have like a Bant Humans, he could be additional copies of Reflector Mage.
Right, right.
But that doesn't really exist, so that's fair. Okay.
Yeah. I like it. Like, don't get me wrong. I know this is a Pioneer podcast, but like, there is like, there is, you know, synergy with the wizard that if you tap other wizards, you bounce things, you know? And like, I'm excited about it from that perspective, but not in Pioneer, you know?
Hey, well, you know how you can bounce a card every turn in Pioneer?
How's that?
You just play Maze's End? All right, we'll go to black.
I was going
to
ask
you... black.
So yeah, I was going to ask you guys what you thought about Massacre Worm. I'm excited about this just because it punishes those low to the ground, fast aggro decks so much. But at the same time, it's 6 mana. So 6/5, 6 mana. For anybody that doesn't know what it does, so when Massacre Worm comes into battlefield... all creatures your opponents control get -2/-2, and whenever a creature your opponent controls dies, that player loses 2 life. Like,
it's not something I was super excited about. You know, we've got other somewhat similar effects. You know, we had Massacre Girl, we've had a couple demons that do somewhat similar.
But they don't lose life. And,
yeah, sure, but I mean, what kind of deck are you playing that you're going for a 6-drop and you care about your opponent's life total?
Well, I mean, like a reanimator deck, which, I mean, does not really exist, but, like, this is one of the tools that a reanimator deck would look for. It's something that can punish an aggro deck, you know.
Like, from, like, a Whip of Erebos, maybe, or...
Oh, I'd love Whip of Erebos.
Yeah. So, you know, something like that. There have been some reanimator decks that I've played around with. Of course, Dredge has always been better, in my opinion, but... You know, Massacre Worm is a really premium target for that kind of thing. Yeah, I like it as a card. I don't know also if the meta is, like, lends itself to, like... I just feel like, what are you hitting in the meta with this? Like, what are you targeting? You know, I just remember playing against, like, mono-red decks. And, you know, there's these... They have, like, 2 attackers, you know? So, like, yeah, you can get them, you know? You can get the 2. Or, like, mono-black decks where, like, they have the guy that pumps, you know? And it's like, yeah, I mean, I could get my Massacre Worm down, but they're going to pump, you know? And then...
Yeah, maybe, like, Rabble Master decks, but...
Yeah.
Or, like, the Winota decks that are getting more popular now. Something with a lot of mana creatures.
Yeah, no.
All right, so I'm going to go with... I'm going to go on to some other cards. I'm going to go with 2 quickly. These are just ones that I just want to mention because they'll see play probably, but they're just kind of maybe slight upgrades. You know, Necromentia, that's the 3 mana. It's probably the best of our exile effects now. You choose a land... Or you choose any card other than a basic land and exile from their hand, library, graveyard. And if you get any from their hand, then they get a zombie for each one. The other one I want to talk about is Eliminate. Just a 2-mana instant, destroy a creature, planeswalker... converted mana cost 3 or less. I think it's probably going to see some play, like interspersed with Heartless Act, but I think that those are mostly interchangeable, similar to how we used to have Doomblade, Ultimate Price. You know, it's just another playable 2-mana kill spell.
Would you play Eliminate over Fatal Push?
No.
Okay. Just wondering. I like that.
I think they target, like, 2 different things. You know what I mean? like Fatal Push is to stave like aggressive situations, you know,
mm-hmm.
where Eliminate is really, it's kind of a hedge, you know, it gives you something like in the main deck against something aggressive, but also you could kill like a Narset or a Teferi with it, you know?
Yeah, I think I like it in for Inverter Mirrors because they're going to be worried about Narset and Jace Flipped in the sideboard games. I think this will be good in there.
Would you rather Eliminate mainboard instead of Fatal Push? Would you have Fatal Push sideboard then?
No, I would have four Fatal Push, but instead of like, you know, the other Doomblade option, like sometimes you run like a Doomblade or two or something mm-hmm. like that. Or like maybe if I was more concerned with like the aggressive matchups, I might cut like a cast down, you know,
mm-hmm.
and not a cast down, Heroes Downfall and run one of these, you know, because at least this will get a Narset and it'll like stave off like the mono black matchup or something like that. You know?
And it gets Gideon too, which I think is one of their bigger worry cards.
Right. So like a lot of the times the target of the Hero's Downfall is one of those problematic planeswalkers like Gideon or Narset. Now, of course, you want to kill the opponent's Jace, right? The mirror match mm-hmm. always comes down, not always, but a lot of times comes down to the Jace. So you don't get to hit the Jace with this where you do with the Hero's Downfall. But if you're more concerned about those aggro matchups, this is like a good hedge, right? Because you get to have that extra card against aggro, and you can still hit the Gideon, the Narset, mm-hmm. the Teferi.
As far as your question, Ryan, I could see maybe one. I could see, like, if you used to be on 4-push, 2 Heroes Downfall, going, like, 3-push, 3 Eliminate,
mm-hmm.
and then have Heroes Downfall on the sideboard. Yeah. But I'd probably end up just still on 4 Fatal Push.
I like the versatility. I would never cut
probably down to 0 Downfalls. I'd probably still want 1 Downfall, at least, but... Yeah,
Real quick on Necromancia, is that basically Unmoored Ego, just all black?
So in this one, instead of them drawing cards, they create zombies, which I think is probably a little bit better in the matchups you want it. It's also not blue, which is a big upgrade against the decks that are combo mm-hmm. decks that usually run Mystical Dispute.
Okay.
And if you make a bunch of zombies, you can get them with your Massacre Worm. Boom!
Nice. Yeah. nice.
Oh, yeah, so you name their... what's the rat that you can have any number of copies of?
Yeah. Let's go to Magical Christmas Land for a minute.
All right, sounds good. Oh, yeah, well, if they've got those rats, why don't we just exile those with Massacre Worm? Anyways.
What other cards do you think might see play in black?
I like this Archfiend's Vessel. This is a 1-mana 1/1 with lifelink. And then when it enters the battlefield, if it entered from your graveyard... or you cast it from your graveyard, exile it, and if you do, create a 5/5 demon creature token with flying. You say yes. Tell me how we break this, because this thing seems really good.
Rally the Ancestors?
Yeah, I think Rally is where I go as well, because mm-hmm. that deck has multiple ways of bringing it back. I'm happy to lure it back. I'm happy to rally it back. I'm happy to return to the ranks back.
Yeah, this seems like really great with Lurrus. Just like... you know, like what is it? Peas and carrots.
Isn't there that other, that black card that we were talking about in Incoria that brings back like up to two cards?
Yeah, it's like a 1-drop, a 2-drop, and a 3-drop.
Call of the Death Dweller. Yeah, well, that sees some play as well.
So that'd be another card that could take advantage of it. Yeah.
Honestly, what amazes me is I'm always like, man, this thing has lifelink too. Like, it just, you know, I'm only playing it for the ability to bring it back, but the fact that the front side's going to soak up some great mm-hmm. damage, or, you know, you're going to just swim with it every turn and they can't block it because they don't want it in your graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's kind of like, you know, Stitcher Supplier, you know, they don't want to kill it because they don't want it in there. Yeah, I've seen the similar situation there.
Exactly, yeah. So let's talk Grim Tutor real quick, because I think that's another one. You know, 3-mana sorcery, search your library for any card, put in your hand, you lose 3 life. So we've had plenty of 4-mana tutors. This one's 3-mana.
I say
do
no.
Do we have a combo deck broken enough that we want to play this?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, right?
It's jank.
I don't think Inverter wants to play this, and that's really the black combo deck in the format right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, I don't think it does either. I would not want to have it... because, first of all, we already have access to something similar, right? We have the 3-mana blue card that you can search for the Eldrazi out of the sideboard, right? Mm-hmm. So you can go mm-hmm. get Inverter, which is typically one of the combo pieces you're looking for, because you have the Jaces and the and the
Thassa's Oracle. Usually one or the other. And if they're in their graveyard, you can.
Also, you don't want to lose three life. Let me just finish with that. Like, there's so many times where, like, you know,
if you're grabbing a hero's downfall with this, you're just
Like, you just I there's so many times I'm just dead before like turn four. Well, this is when I played a lot of. I don't know what the format looks a lot like it used to, anyways. But you know,
except now Winota decks are just crushing those invert players.
For Grim Tutor, I think this would be a great card if you're playing Yorion. And you have so many extra cards, and you need to be able to grab, you know, that key card that you're not going to draw naturally. So that's how I would see, you know, Grim Tutor fitting.
Okay, so we're playing
blue white or blue black.
Yorion Lotus Breach.
Maybe.
No, that's what we're doing. Okay. Now. You and me, we're playing this.
you know what? It could be. It could be good in that one deck. The Yorion deck, I don't have enough to speak on, so I can't really, you know, give comments to that. But what I will say is that there was a Seasons Pass deck. It was a black, green, like control deck essentially, and I think this could be good in the Seasons Pass deck.
What about
and not like as a four of, like as a one of or two of, you know?
What about the Sultai Delirium with like Yorion?
I don't know.
Not really.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Sultai Delirium without Yorion wants this. Yeah, you know. I'll say that, you know, I mean, Euro gains your life, but like you want to.
Yeah, they've already got Traverse for everything they would want it for. That's why I thought it's something we can go over pretty quickly, but it is a card they at least have a little bit of hype on. I've got another one. Maybe I will be the only one who'll talk about it, but Silver Smoke Ghoul, some people were pretty excited about. It's a 3-mana zombie, 3/1. Beginning of your end step, if you gain 3 or more life, you return it from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped, and you can pay 2 and sacrifice it to draw a card. There is a Dredge deck in Pioneer. It already plays, what is the card? Creeping Chill. So that gains you 3 life, which would bring this back. And, you know, bring it back would bring back your 3/3s, your prized amalgams, although it would bring them back the following turn, is just something to keep in mind. I don't think this is going to make it into that deck. I did try testing it out, so I figured just tell you guys, probably not good enough, but it's a cool card. If we ever get maybe one more life gain effect that could make it all flow together a little better, then it might see play, but right now I'm just not quite there for it.
Are they still playing the Euro in that deck? In the Dredge deck?
I've seen like one person trying that. I don't know how you cast green, green, blue, blue in a deck with like 4 green sources and 5 blue sources or whatever it is.
Yeah, like when Euro came out, Sodic was playing it like pretty regularly. I don't know if he's moved away from that or not. While we talk about this, I'll look at Sodic's Dredge.
Okay.
He's like, Ryan, do you want another one? Because
I have, I don't have actually any other black ones that I want to talk about. I think the other ones are just kind of like more like.
See, I like all of Black's one drops, and I could definitely go on a rant. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna go on a rant while he's looking some stuff about one drops. Is this set didn't have a lot of them? You know, it had no 2-power one drops. It didn't have a lot of one drops overall, and I feel like that's something that Wizards lately really needs to just get on the ball with, is that like they figured out one big thing. They figured out you've got to put mana into your decks to make standard decks be able to cast their spells. And I feel like there was a couple sets, you know, back in like BFZ era where that wasn't true and it was really bad, and they've gotten much better at that. Now what I feel like they need to do is they need to be putting one drops in there if they ever want aggro decks to be good. Like, you know, we had cats, we had dogs in this set, but neither of them really has any playable one drops, so they're just not going to be a deck in standard. Like, I was kind of thinking, like, if they could drop a 2-mana lord, a 3-mana lord, a 4-mana lord, you know, if they want to do, like, Griffin lords, they could do a 2-mana Griffin lord, 3-mana Griffin lord, 4-mana Griffin lord, but if there's no one drops, you're never going to play that deck.
Yeah, it's never going to be an aggressive deck.
So the fact there's no cat, there's no dog, I mean, there's, like, the 1/1/1 dog, but I don't think that's... We just needed some good one drops, and then we didn't see it. Like, I was hoping for a Savannah Lions, literal Savannah Lions reprint.
Or even, like, a Step Lynx, you know, like they had in Zendikar.
Sure, yeah, that'd be great. Or there's, like, the one that is kind of a Curd Ape, but it's a cat. Something like that. We really needed that. But, yeah, what I was getting back to is that there were a couple decent black one drops. I didn't hate Liliana Steward, 1-mana black zombie, which it's a 1/2, which is nice, and you can sack it to make an opponent discard a card by tapping
so
it.
There was,
at sorcery speed.
There was another one, like, in the Ravnica block that was, like, the Flyer, right? It had, like, a similar effect.
Yeah, that one kind of duressed, but it cost mana to use the ability, which I think hurts it.
Okay.
This, you know, if there is a way to do something like, you know, you're lursing this back every turn, might be decent. If there's a grindier zombie deck, it's also, you know, a lot of zombie enter the battlefield triggers.
I might...
Just as a... It's kind of as a special mention for me. And then the other one is the Thieves Guild Enforcer is the 1-1 flash rogue. It mills 2 when it or any other rogue enters the battlefield on the opponent, and... If the opponent has 8 or more cards in their graveyard, it's a 3-2 death touch. So 3-2 death touch flash for 1 black is almost Delver level. Mm-hmm. So this is a card I have my eye on.
Yeah, I like it.
Hmm.
Seems spicy. Especially if you have a way to put their cards in their graveyard.
Yeah, I don't need to build this. I don't think I need to build an all rogue deck for this to be a thing. I just think that it's a decent card. Maybe it can be a black human because that deck definitely needed a 1 drops. Might be playable.
About Liliana Stewart, I'm actually kind of looking at that now for my Waste Not deck, so I might try that out. I need a good one drop.
I mean, I know I had tried to play Gisa and Garelf alongside Black Cat, and this seems like a lot better than that.
All right, so yeah, I think that's very cool. That I think that Mill card, people be interested in playing. People love Mill, you know, and 3-2, you know, is sweet. I don't know about the Stewart. I'm off it, but you know, I hear you guys. So, and then I did look up Sodek's situation. Sodek is running Euro in his dredge deck. He went. I think this is a Pioneer deck that I'm looking at. He went. It looks like 7-2 at Brussels, and he also pointed out that black card saying, "Oh, it looks like dredge might have a new toy." So,
Yeah. So I think that. You know, I think I actually might have tried that, is that if you are playing Uro, that is an extra way to get that 3 life gain. How many blue sources is he running is my question.
I would have to go to his Patreon to get his deck list, which I don't think I'm in there. Yeah, okay, here we are. He's given the deck list here. Looks like he's running 3 Botanical Sanctums, 3 Breeding Pools, 2 Mana Confluence, and 4 Watery Graves. So that's 6... 10, so 12
total blue sources. Yeah. That's reasonable. Okay.
Yep. And then
I'll give that a shot.
Yeah. The deck list looks pretty sick, but cool. Yeah, he's like supposed to be like the dredge expert. You know, that's why I always go and look at his stuff. So he plays a lot of modern dredge and a lot of pioneer dredge.
Okay, let's move on to red. As long as we've kind of gathered back from those couple of tangents there.
Red was hard. I mean, red seems strong, but there wasn't a lot of stuff that really stood out in Pioneer for me.
Yeah, definitely agree.
Like, nothing, it's like, oh, this is going to go into this deck. There isn't really a deck for it, but it's powerful.
So, all right, so there's 2 dragons. I think we have to talk about them. I love dragons. I don't know if either of these is going to be good, and I'm kind of down on them pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The 5-drop mythic, 5/4 flyer, spells your opponents cast that target him, cost 3 additional to cast, 3 life additional to cast, and whenever another creature you control enters the battlefield, it deals damage equal to that creature's power to any target. So, I guess I saw that was any target, but still. 5-drop flyer doesn't really do anything. I mean, I guess it's hard to say that it doesn't do anything if it comes into play against Doomblade, because even then you're doing them some damage, but... There's just so much competition for me at 5 mana.
Yeah, is this like better than a Glorybringer, you know?
Yeah, so Glorybringer seems in play, but even without Glorybringer, there's Stormbreath Dragon waiting in the wings, there's Demanding Dragon, who has a really nice enter the battlefield. Even if there was a pure Dragons deck, you know, there's then you've got to play with the Kolaghan, you've got to play with Spawn of Thraxus. Like,
what?
5 mana is really hard for dragons.
What do you guys... I think this is like, this goes in like the Gruul deck, right? Like, if I were to play it, I would play it in like the Gruul deck. I mean,
if I were to play it, that's where I would play it as well.
What do you guys think of playing this like in a tokens, like a planeswalker type deck? You know, like a turn 4 Gideon, turn 5 Terror, turn 6 Elspeth. You're putting these tokens into play, and you're just like pinging, 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 and it can't be taken out easily because they lose 3 life. And you know, maybe with like a Purphoros, even like a Purphoros Terror of the Peaks / tokens control deck, would that be playable?
I mean,
too janky.
I think like Purphoros sounds cool. The reason I said is in the Gruul deck is because you have like chunky guys you can follow up with, right? It's kind of like you make this proposition where you're like, all right, here's my five drop. If you kill it, you're going to take three, which already they're taking a bunch of damage from like spellbreakers and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if you kill it, you take three. But if you don't kill it, I'm going to drop a bunch of creatures next turn and like just dome you into oblivion, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of like that turning point in the game where it's like, okay, they have to kill it right then, right? Because mm-hmm. otherwise they're going to take five in the air and they're going to take all the damage from whatever creatures you play. And in those Gruul decks, do they play anything that like a planeswalker that can make a token or something like that? Or, you know, I don't. The deck is not very high tier. So I mean,
and maybe if the new Garruk is any good, but yeah,
yeah.
I was gonna ask, would this take over the spot of a Glorybringer if you're playing that already in one of your red decks?
Yeah, I mean it would have to, right?
Yeah, it would have to.
But like, if you're not playing in a meta where like killing something. Like, you know, killing something... The thing about Glorybringer is, like, you could kill, like, a, you know, a creature with it and be like, yeah, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, if there's not a lot of creatures that, like, are meaningful, then the Glorybringer maybe has less of, you know, less...
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So, depending on...
They both die to the same removal spells, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Can I talk about the other dragon? It's actually the only card from red that I think has the possibility of showing up in a tier 1 or tier 2 deck.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear it.
So Gadrak, the Crown Scourge, is 2 mana and a red, flying 5/4, and it can't attack unless you control 4 or more artifacts. So which decks in red play a lot of artifacts? Blue, red, and soul. You're already going to have tons of those in play. This seems like a good top end for that deck. It has... evasion, and then it says at the beginning of your end step, create a treasure token for each non-token creature that died this turn. So maybe you don't have to worry about that so much, but it's still nice to be able to give you more tokens so it can attack the next turn if they kill off all the other two and, you know, one drops that have Insol artifact on them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to put it on the list for that reason specifically, because I feel like this is interesting in Insol. First of all, Insol deals chunks of 5 damage.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the mm-hmm. you have the 5 synergy there, which is great. You have things like the indestructible land, you know, Darksteel Citadel,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, already starts to turn it on. And a lot of other artifacts in general, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing is like, one of the ways to beat Insol is to kill the artifact creatures, right? Or bounce them or whatever. You know, the indestructible ones you want to balance, or you want to kill them when they're trying to put the Insol on it and stuff like that. This just makes that problem even worse, right? Because...
Yeah, very win more in that way.
Because it's like, if they have an artifact and that turns on the dragon, and then they go to put an Insol on it, and then you kill that one artifact... Then not only do you get the Insol, but you also get the dragon, right? Because the dragon can't attack. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it makes the removal even better against you, their artifact removal, which they will be definitely boarding in. Maybe it's, like, a good main deck, and then you take it out, right, after sideboard.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the token at the end of the turn for each non-token creature that tied this turn. So if they killed 3 of your guys that you're going to Insol, you get 3 treasure tokens.
Yeah, but a lot of times I don't think...
Yeah, when are you going to... That seems really rare that you'd have that many creatures in play.
Yeah.
If that's already the case. You're probably winning.
I don't think...
Now, you can still block if you're not... If you mm-hmm. don't have artifacts. Is there any kind of defensive deck that just wants a 5/4 blocker that is going to create a bunch of tokens with value for you? Like when you're killing your opponent's stuff, maybe?
Mm. Non-token creatures that die in red. I can't think of any...
I mean, you can kill your opponent's creatures. And...
So, oh, that die. Okay, it's opponent's creatures. Okay, so it's not just yours. I didn't read it like that. So create a treasure token for each non-token creature that died, yours or your opponent's. Okay.
You play it, you're like a red-white removal deck, and you Deafening Clarion their board and make a bunch of tokens.
Yeah, that would work.
I didn't know you could kill your opponent's creatures in Pioneer.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen a lot.
I'm just joking.
You sure you don't mean Teferi bounce their creatures?
I thought you just exiled your library and won the game. I didn't know that you were killing creatures.
Any other red cards?
All right, there's a couple more. We talked about the blue card that can be reduced in cost, but there's also a red one. 6 mana, 1/5 colorless, but it costs X less, where X is the number of non-combat damage you dealt to your opponent this turn. It's a 6/6 trample, and whenever a source you control deals non-combat to an opponent, it deals that much damage to a creature or planeswalker that that player controls.
I know where it's
1 mana 6/6, right?
Yeah, 1 mana 6/6 with the ability to just like nuke creatures and planeswalkers.
Yeah, I think the only weird question, the funny question about this is, is it good enough for what's in the versus what's already in the red deck, right? It's so weird, right?
But
it's like the red deck is so good, you know.
I don't think it fits in existing red decks just easily. I think that there might be a home for it, though. I think that the obvious power level of this card should mean that it'll have a home at some point in Pioneer.
I always talk about blue red Turbo Alchemist. That was a thing back in Frontier, and
it was not.
It was a thing.
Not really.
It was jank. It was like tier 3, but still, that type of deck could take advantage of this card. You know, where you're just pinging everybody and burning and pinging, and then you play this, and then you get the double ping, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, then I had one last one. One in a red, 2/2. It has prowess, and you can sacrifice it. You can pay one red and sacrifice it without even tapping to deal its damage equal to its power to a creature or planeswalker. And the real reason why this is definitely on my list is the stat line Human Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Wizard's Lightning, that deck did not have quite enough wizards to really make Wizard's Lightning good. And I think that this is probably better than Viashinu Pyromancer.
Okay.
So that alone makes me think that this will probably be a playable card at some point.
Yeah, all the other 2/2 prowesses, or sure, all the other 2 power prowess cards that we have like one toughness. You know, like there's Abbot of Carol Keep as well. So this will definitely, this has a little bit more versatility.
Yeah, I might have to try. You know what I want to do is I want to claim to fame this thing.
Return it to the battlefield, +2/+0.
Return to the battlefield. So I'll kill something with it, then I'll return to the battlefield, then cast claim, make it a 5 power creature with haste.
Nice.
All right. Why don't we move on to green then? Because so red, not a lot. I think.
Yeah.
We kind of had that same feeling.
Green's got some powerful stuff.
It's pretty weak.
Green's okay. I'm not as high. What are you high on, Ryan?
Azusa, Lost But Seeking. That we know that man is a problem. Big man is a problem in Pioneer any format, and this is just like, it's not even fuel on the fire. This is like putting fire into a lake of oil or something like that, you know.
I am pretty comfortable saying this will have no play.
You think so?
That's where I'm saying, yeah.
You're crazy.
Like, you're 2 crazy, additional man. Lands on each of your turns. This is a turn 2 card.
There was already a mono green deck, man. There was already a mono green ramp deck. This is absurd. This card is broken, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I definitely.
But where are you getting the lands from?
Your deck?
Your hand.
Yeah. I mean, this with like Uro and like Reclamation. I mean, this is going to be one of those like really broken decks where you just make a crap ton of mana super, super fast. And then, you know, X whatever somebody or something like that and then kill them.
Yeah, I think the bottleneck is like drawing cards. But like, I haven't even thought about the deck. Like, what does the deck look like? I'm sure there's plenty of ways to draw cards and fuel the ramp and the, you know. Yeah, I think this is like, because those decks are always like stage one, like get Azusa out, like pull ahead in mana, and then just like once you get enough mana, start to, you know, capitalize on the extra.
Would this be good in ramp though? Like, I know like we haven't really seen the Eldrazi ramp do well at all recently, just because, you know, it was too slow against aggro, it was too slow against like the combo decks. It just didn't have the speed. It was like one turn behind. Does Azusa make those decks playable now?
I mean, it makes
not for me.
It makes them faster.
Yeah.
It makes them faster. again, yeah, I don't know. Mono green ramp was not very good against like Inverter. That was like an awful matchup. But like blue green ramp has a decent matchup against Inverter. I wouldn't say decent, but much better than mono green, right?
Yeah, you get Uro. And
you get, well, you mainly get like, you know, Disdainful Stroke or, you know, just like some way to interact with the combo, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think this is definitely a reason to try. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, Azusa being in the format is definitely a reason to try to make that kind of deck work. Because if it can't work with Azusa, it just cannot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm really low on it unless we have something like Bauslands. If I'm going with Ramp, I think I would much rather play Cultivate, which is another 3-mana spell we just got reprinted. That you search your library for 2 basic land cards, reveal them, put one on the battlefield, tapped, and the other in your hand. So we already had Nissa's Pilgrimage, which did this, but only with forests. Mm-hmm. And that was always a real problem because you kind of had to go mono green or you would just never have enough forests to make that card work. This, you could go green-blue, you could go green-red, something like that, and really be able to make it powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, no arguments there. I mean, it's sound reasoning.
Yeah, I'm happy for
this. This is a 2-for-1, whereas Azusa is not. Azusa just empties your hand and then it does nothing.
True, true. You want to go to the next? Or so you did Cultivate. I did Azusa. How about you, Jonathan? You want to choose the next card then?
I'll just say that this Elder Gargoth or whatever is trash. So
yeah?
Yeah. It's trash tier. It's a 5-mana 6/6, you know? Yeah, maybe it'll see play in the mono green stompy deck or something, you know. But, like, you have to attack or block with it. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, for it to get the value. And to me, like, that's worse than if it gets the value when it comes into play. Or if it's something that's sticky and hard to remove, you know. Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of things that I'm looking for in Pioneer. This is just a big, dumb creature, you know.
I think it depends on the metagame. Yeah. Against combo, you know, metagame, it's, or control metagame, it's not going to be that good. Against mid-range, against aggro, I think it'll be really good.
Yeah, I mean, if we were back at the beginning of Pioneer when it was a creature-based format, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, this thing slays, right? It's like, yeah, I got this big idiot who, you know, you could swing with it and, like, gain life or draw a card, you know, or block. You can't attack into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think a lot less decks are looking to attack into anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I guess it's good against mono red, right? Like, you know, they can't really attack it, but it's 5-mana. I mean, there's a lot of 5-mana cards that are good against mono red, you know?
I mean,
yep.
You're going to be ramping it out no matter what, so.
Sure, but like, you know.
Yeah.
I see it as like, yeah, it's good against mono red, but everything else, it's like, I don't know. That's why I call it trash. Maybe I was a little bit too harsh.
Okay.
No, I'm with you there. I'm happy to dumpster on that one.
How do you guys feel about Spore Web Weaver? It's the 2-mana and a green spider, 1/4, reach hexproof from blue, and whenever it's dealt a damage, you gain 1 life and create a 1/1 green sapperling token.
So this is a sideboard card, but I think that it's going to be a really nasty one if there are any green decks that want to bring it again against spirits.
So it's hexproof from blue. So it just it stops. It can't be tempoed out. It can still die.
Sure, but not a lot of spirits decks are going to be doing 4 points of damage most of the time.
Yeah, maybe. Unless they are playing green and the Collected Company and get 2 lords out. But yeah.
Yeah, the blocking one spirit, it just kind of like negates so much, right? Because you gain a life, you get a 1/1. And then you block the actual damage, the two or three damage, you know? And then if they get 2 down,
and you can't tap it with your, new guy is called, or your Neville Gastrion.
Anything else in green we need to talk about, you think?
I think the best card in green we haven't talked about.
Here we go.
Big words.
So Garrick's Harbinger. This is a 3-mana 4/3 with Hexproof from black, which is nice. Probably better than Hexproof from blue. And whenever it deals damage to a player or a planeswalker, you look at the top cards of your library equal to the number of damage you dealt, and you can grab a creature or a Garrick planeswalker card from among them and put it into your hand, and the rest you go on the bottom. So, I mean, it's a big beater, but you're going to draw a card pretty much every time you hit with this, and I feel like there's already a deck for it. Like, I do feel like kind of the green-black four-power creature deck has sort of been around. You know, there's kind of a Coco green-black deck. I've seen it. It's not great, but this obviously fits right into there. I think that any kind of green Coco deck will just want to play this. You know, it's always going to hit.
I mean, it doesn't have trample, though. Or it doesn't really have evasion. It doesn't,
but you can give it trample. Yeah. And, it, you know, it's a 4-3. Like, I'm happy to play a 4-3 on turn 2 and just smash with it.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's not great against red, but against black, like, Hexproof from black is going to do a lot to stop them from killing.
Yeah, they don't usually have big enough creatures to block it. They just rely on their removal, so.
I think it's also good against the Inverter, just because it puts a clock on them, and they can't remove it with removal spells, you know.
Yeah. And yeah, like, I'd say this is better than Steel Leaf Champion against Inverter, easily.
Yeah. And, well, they can block it with Inverter, just FYI, because Inverter is not black. It's devoid, but...
And even then, this isn't pro-black, so they could block it.
Yeah, that's true. Would be really cool if it was pro-black. All right. Yeah. So, is that it for green? I think so, huh?
Yeah, we're getting through these today. Well, we still got to go back to white afterwards. Don't forget.
Yeah, let's jump back to white, or do you want to do multicolor first?
What do you think?
Just be really weird.
Well, no, we're going to do everything, and then we're going to close on white, right? Because that's the big...
Okay, sure. Sounds good. Finally, maybe we're hyping up white too much, but finally we can be a little excited about white.
Yeah, yeah. Let's, you know.
All right, so multicolored.
I was going to say, I mean, we didn't really talk about any of the other cards that are in M21, but there seem to be a lot of cards that are kind of focused on bringing... Hardened Scales back to white and green, which I believe was the original color before we got like Winding Constrictor. So Conclave Mentor, green and a white, and it's a 2/2, and if one or more 1/1 counters would be put on a creature you control, that many plus 1/1 counters are put onto that creature instead.
Plus one counters.
And when it dies, you gain life equal to its power. So it's basically Constrictor, except that you get life when it dies.
Yeah, and it doesn't add to artifacts or to like energy counters or any of that weird stuff that never really came up with Constrictor.
Yeah.
The 2/2 versus 2/3 is probably the biggest downside versus Constrictor, although you could play both. That's definitely my first question, is whether or not we want to play this in Abzan or if we're going to play a green-white scales deck.
So I disagree that the worst thing about it is it's a 2/3 versus 2/2. The worst thing about it to me is that you have white removal spells instead of Fatal Push.
Like, but Dromoka's Command is real good.
It's pretty good. It is pretty good, but it is 2 mana as well, and it requires a creature.
Right,
for it to be. I mean, it doesn't require a creature. Let me take that back. It requires a creature for it to be really good, right? And part of the thing is, I don't think you want to lean into, like, your weaknesses in your deck, right? One of the weaknesses of the Hardened Scales deck is you kill their one creature that they're making huge or whatever, you know? And they have a bunch of enablers and not something to pay off, you know? Of course, if the creature is artifact, the one that makes 1/1s.
Hangerback Walker?
Right? Yeah, if it's a Hangerback Walker, your life is over, but, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but can you do Abzan?
This also doesn't get blown out.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Can you do Abzan? I don't know. Like, I feel like stretching the mana base is not a fun thing. You don't really want to do that, right?
Yeah. And that's also, then you've got a lot of the effects that don't put counters on your things. So if you draw, like, if you've got a hand that's like 2 Hardened Scales, a Conclave Mentor, and 2 Winding Constrictors, like, that doesn't do anything. You're playing 2/2s and 2/3s.
Dude, as soon as you draw that hanger back, though, man, it's going to be huge.
So if you're not playing the black green, you're losing the Fatal Push, like we said, you're losing some disruption, maybe from the sideboard, maybe the
Thoughtseize,
you're losing the Assassin's Trophy, maybe.
Perfect, so it's a budget deck now.
Yeah. So it's more of a budget version. But you still keep pretty much all of the creatures, right? Maybe this is...
But, like, do you want to go into, like, a combo meta without Thoughtseizes?
No.
Like, no.
But I would have access to Gideon. Or...
You would.
Yeah, so, you know, Gideon of the Trials.
I can't follow you there, but you're a brave soul, man.
Yeah. But anyways, you guys...
You play the 4-mana Johnny.
There you go. You guys, any other multicolor cards that you think we should talk about?
It's hard. These two are kind of fringe, right?
Yeah, the rest of the uncommon cycle was really bad. There are two other rares in multicolor. You know, they're both okay. You know, there's Nyambi and Radha. I don't know if we need to go into either of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say the Radha, you know, I have that, the Gruul deck in mind. The biggest thing for me is that this gives your draws more quality, right? But it does compete for the Gruul Spellbreaker spot, which is like primo, and I probably would not replace Spellbreaker with this. But it is kind of...
I think you mean the Garruk's Harbinger slot.
Garruk's Harbinger? Yeah, that's right. I got to update my premise.
All right. I'm happy to go to artifacts / colorless because there's a couple artifacts I'm excited about. Probably too excited. Probably more excited than they actually are. Strong. I guess I'll start us off with Solemn Simulacrum. It's back. It's beautiful. Gorgeous art. You know, this. If you guys don't know, this is a 4-mana artifact creature. It's a 2/2. When it enters the battlefield, you search your library for a basic land and put it into play. And when it dies, you draw a card. So this is like the oldest 3-for-1 ever kind of thing. Like, it used to be a great card. I don't know if it lives up. I certainly don't see a deck for it right now. But man, I love this card.
Oh, it's been played at many a commander tables and still is a commander beloved staple.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good enough for Pioneer? I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to say no because it's Solemn Simulacrum. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe we can get a Field of the Dead unban and then see it play.
But then it's only a basic land card. It's not any land. So, well, Golos. Sure,
you're ramping yourself.
But you get like this in Golos. You get really janky.
And then you bounce them with your Yorian.
There you go. I'm more excited about the Spark Hunter Mastacore in artifacts. Yeah. So 3-mana, 3/4. That's great already. And you have to discard a card when you cast it. Okay, no problem.
If you cast it, yeah.
Protection Planeswalkers can't be bounced by, Teferi. That's probably the big one. And you pay 1 mana. It deals 1 damage to target Planeswalker. So it kills, you know, that Narset after they, you know, -2 twice, and it's stuck on one. You can't get rid of it.
After they
or
minus.
A Teferi or something like that. You don't have to attack.
New Teferi when they
yeah,
minus.
You don't have to.
Old Teferi when they minus.
Before you had to kind of attack into him to kill him, but now you don't have to do that. You just kill it and then attack, you know, to the face. And then the other ability, 3-mana, Spark Hunter Massacre gains indestructible to the end of turn, so it gets around all of those Wrath effects. So how big are you guys on Spark Hunter Massacre?
I like it. I think it's a good card.
I like it. Where I most want to see it played is in a Collected Company deck,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't for sure know what we have yet. Like, I almost could see trying this in the sideboard of Spirits. Just what I really, really like is that if you get into play at their end step, you know, they'll never be able to Teferi it, and if you can just hold up mana, they can't Sweeper it. And that's like the two ways that those blue-white decks are going to be able to get rid of a creature, so it's just going to stick around forever.
What's that Throne of Eldraine X mana? You know, has the
protection. The Winding, or not the Winding Constrictor.
Protects from multicolor.
Stone Coil Oracle?
Yeah.
Stone Coil Serpent?
Yeah.
That's it. Stone Coil Serpent.
Artifacts have gotten some really good Hate Bears recently, and this is a really good one.
Yeah, it's a solid card. It's good. I like it.
And you can actually, you could mutate onto this, Ooh. But I don't think mutate's playable.
Probably not.
You guys want to go white?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll go to some white cards. Hey, white gets draw spells now. Mangara the Diplomat. I don't know if this is actually a very playable card for Pioneer, but it's exciting enough that I got to mention it. Probably a sideboard card play. 1/3 white for a 2/4 lifelink, and whenever an opponent attacks with 2 or more creatures, you draw a card, and whenever an opponent casts a second spell each turn, you draw a card.
Mm.
So seems like a great sideboard card against red. Like,
yes, exactly. Bring it in against red. They can't attack around it. They can't, you know, if they throw 2 spells at it and you get a draw card and 2 spells and your 2/4 lifelink, like, that seems great.
Yeah, it seems like it would see play against red. I like it.
Are there any white prison decks that we could play that in?
No.
That's where I could see it being played, but otherwise, I don't know where it would fit.
Well, I think like blue white control will bring it in against, you know, red, like, you know, I don't know, other decks that have access to white. It would have to have a not great matchup against red. So I have to think of what white decks don't have great matchups against red, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tough.
All right, so I can go next. I'm going to choose one of the big ones, though. I'm really excited about Containment Priest. So one mana.
Oh, man, yeah.
This was a commander card, maybe? It was like a...
Yeah.
Or something like that before. So it's a 2/2 human cleric, 1/1 white, and it's got flash. And if a token creature, or sorry, if a non-token creature would enter the battlefield and it wasn't cast, exile it instead. So this just destroys Collected Company, right?
Yeah, you can flash it in before Collected Company. I don't know if that's the biggest thing that it stops, because there's plenty of other nice things that it prevents here.
So what other stuff would it prevent? What other big...
So Rally, that's a big one.
Okay.
Winona.
Winona,
that's
okay.
A huge one.
Yeah. Winona Rider.
You also have Dredge, your dudes will not come and play. And also, does it exile them?
Exile instead.
So like the thing is, like, you catch them, right? So like they're gonna all their you know, zombies get triggered in the graveyard, prize amalgams, all their prize amalgams get triggered, and then you just go Containment Priest and now they're all exiled. Or, you know, same thing with Winona, trigger on the stack, boom, get them, you know, Collected Company in response to Collected Company, boom, get them, you know.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I'm really excited for it. We're just getting better and better white hate bear cards. So this will do a lot to not really stopping the best decks, but still it makes them more.
It's power, and I'm excited for some of the tricks you can kind of do with this. Like, you know, you can bounce your Silk Wrap or whatever you're playing. Probably Silk Wrap, and then their creature comes back into play and it's just gone.
Yeah, I see what you're saying with that. That's cool.
Or even
Eldrazi Displacer, if we want to get really...
Spellqueller?
Well, Spellqueller, you cast it, right?
Yeah, but you cast Spellqueller, and you play it, and you tempo it. Like, you put their creature underneath it, and then you bounce your Spellqueller back to your hand, and with Tame Priest in play...
And then they cast it.
No, they cast it.
Is it cast? Darn.
Yeah, they cast it.
I thought it was just put into play.
No.
That works with that spirit, though. Is a nice thing.
Which spirit?
The ghostly pilferer.
Which one? The tap? No.
The blue spirit we talked about. The 2/1 that when they cast a spell from anywhere other than their hand.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay. Oh yeah. So it will the Spellqueller will trigger the ghostly pilferer. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with Containment Priest, but it's a separate.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's where I was lost, because I was like, Containment Priest and the spell. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with another reprint here. Is Ruined Halo. This is 2W for an enchantment, and as enters the battlefield, you choose a card, and you have protection from the chosen card name.
What cards are so dangerous that you want to protect yourself from?
Yeah. It's tough here because it doesn't stop a lot of the combo wins. You know, it doesn't stop you from losing to Inverter. It doesn't stop you from losing to Lotus Breach.
Ulamog.
Doesn't really stop you from losing to that. That doesn't target when it attacks, I don't believe.
Maybe it stops Gideon's. You know?
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand, there is a mono-white deck that's currently, some versions of it are playing Gideon's Intervention in the main board. This is... in some ways, a 2-mana cheaper version of that.
How about Ballista? Would that be a good target?
It does stop Ballista, yes. Okay.
So you can't lose to the combo, the Heliod combo with it, right?
They might be able to gain infinite life if they've got Devotion to White.
Okay.
So that's not great.
I could see, having more sideboard card options is great. You know, like... I'm not big on this card, Ruined Halo. I don't see its potential uses, but like having, I like things like Ruined Halo and Containment Priest is obviously very relevant, but like having tools in the toolbox, right, that you can go to if things were to arise or become problems. I like that.
Yeah. You know?
I'll talk about Angelic Ascension.
Okay.
I kind of don't think it's very good. And the reason why is because, first of all, it's two mana, which is, you know, gross. I like the Planeswalker side of it, right? There are Planeswalkers I'd rather see a 4/4 Angel versus, you know. But the creature side of it is, I feel like, pretty bad. Like,
okay, so real quick, this is 1W, exile a creature or Planeswalker as an instant, and its controller gets a 4/4 white Angel token with flying.
Right. And so for me, it's like, okay, if you remove a 1-drop with it, right, you give them a 4/4. You know, so the mana, like if you look at the mana, right, they spend 1 mana, they get a 4/4. You spend 2 mana to give them that 4/4. And then, like, if you just
and a card, yeah.
If you just work up the chain, right? Okay, if you do it on a 2-drop, well, they spent 2 mana, they got a 4/4 out of it, and you, you know, their mana equal, and they get a 4/4, right? Because it's a 2/2 that they spent 2, and you spent 2 on your removal spell. So you're equal in mana, but they get the 4/4. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so when I was talking to Ryan about this card at first, what I said is that I don't want to be using it on my opponent's stuff. I want to be using this on my stuff. And then occasionally, if I need to, I can use it
on the opponent's stuff. Like before they
ultimate. Or, you know, like kill their Jace in response to them winning is a big one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like the kill the Jace thing, right? Because that's, that's like they spent 4 mana, you spent 2, right? And then you gave them a 4/4 Angel, you know, which, you know, it's to me, it's better. Obviously, you're not losing either, you know, but like the situations, you get to the point where the situations have to be such a certain situation, right, that it's kind of like, why am I playing this card? Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I'm rarely ever using it on a creature, right? Or
probably not.
Or like if I am using it, like, is it better than other options that I could be doing against a creature, you know?
So that's what I'm saying, is that if I'm running this in my deck, I want my main plan to be using this on my own cards. You know, I'm thinking if I've got a Narset down to 1, I find this with Narset, and then I use it on my Narset. You know, especially like they attack the Narset, and then you get rid of it and get a blocker into play. That's kind of cool.
I see.
And that's why I thought this might be playable, is that, you know, that same deck's probably running Teferi, so, you know, you can turn something into an Angel and then bounce the token, and then it's just gone.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, in a blue-white control deck or whatever, you get a little bit more versatility out of it, and it's not, like, dead in the mirror match, because you could kill their Planeswalkers, or you could just, like, if you have 2 of them in your hand, you could just, like, we're gonna go aggro, you know?
Yeah, especially, you know, if you're already playing maybe like that thing that makes an 0/4 wall, like that, making an Angel. So I'd want to have some cards to play with it, and I would want my main plan to be, you know, using it on my own stuff.
Guys.
Well, but I do think that there is.
You do make 1/1s, right, in blue-white control with the castle, you know.
Hey, guys, it's not playable in Pioneer. Sorry.
Yeah, I did.
Well, you don't want us turning your stuff in.
I'm not high on it, man. I started with that. I led with that, you know.
Okay.
All right, I'm higher on it than Ryan is, but hey, okay. You know how much I love to complain about white not having removal. Can we talk about Swift Response real quick?
Yeah.
This is actually unique. You didn't think about it. I definitely overlooked this one at first. So white, 1W for an instant, destroy target tapped creature. So attacking creature kills it, or not. You can still use it on their next turn if it's just a tapped creature. So we had Seal Away, and that actually saw a little bit of play, and I feel like this is almost strictly better because they can't kill the Seal Away to get their creature back later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there no other? I thought there was something like this before. I know we've had like Divine Verdict that was like 4 mana.
We had this as a sorcery that you could cast as if it were an instant if you had 2 or more spells in your graveyard. Okay. We had, you know, destroy target attacking or blocking creature. Mm-hmm. We had sacrifice an attacking creature. But no, we have not had this effect before.
So now you can use that spirit to tap their creature and then kill it with Swift Response. Boom!
There you go.
Full circle.
There's the combo.
I just want, you know what I want? I want a 1-mana white card that exiles their creature.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We were saying like Condemn might be a good card to reprints in the near future. The one that puts on the bottom of the library and they gain life. Yeah, it's like Swords of Pleasures.
That's better. That's much better.
We're never going to get Path to Exile. never going to get it. So,
you know, give me Path or give me Swords or, you know, come on. It's, you know, it's not that bad. Like, we get so much OP stuff from all these other colors, you know? Yeah. It's just like,
or like Eliminate, but as a white enchantment, maybe.
What's Eliminate?
Something like that. That's the new one, the creature replace one, the three or less. Like, that could have been a one and a white.
Yeah, just give me Eliminate, but exile it and call it white.
Yeah. There you go.
If you guys don't mind me going next, I want to talk about the combo people have been talking about. It's a cute combo. Both
meow, meow, meow.
Yeah, it's both cute in picture and cute as in, like, it's overly complicated and probably Magical Christmas Land, but... Nine Lives is one and white enchantment. It has hexproof, and it says if a source would deal damage to you, prevent that damage and put an incarnation counter on Nine Lives. When there are nine or more incarnation counters on Nine Lives, exile it, and when Nine Lives leaves the battlefield, you lose the game. So basically, the combo is this and Solemnity. Solemnity, I believe, stops stuff from going on your artifacts, your enchantments, the players. In creatures. So once you have that in play and you have nine lives in play, it's impossible for you to lose the game to damage. So against red, I don't know, what else decks do like a crap ton of damage? You know, maybe like Ballista, whatever. So this seems like a great card for some kind of white control deck, I would say. Maybe like you play this and you play a bunch of Planeswalkers, for example.
So, well, they could kill the Solemnity, right? And then...
Yeah.
Okay. And then kill you with... Yeah, that would take some...
But
if you think about something like a red-white aggro, how are they going to kill this?
Yeah.
Right, right. They'll kill you before you play six mana of enchantments.
that's hopefully their
plan. You're going to have board wipes. You're going to have, like, Fumigates or the Shadow of the Sky. You're going to have tons of access to stuff to kill their creatures.
All right, so that's the reasonable combo. I think the cuter combo, both in how cute it is and how, like, literal cute it is I've seen people talking about Harmless Offering. Maybe it's just because you're literally handing
me a cat.
Yes! Oh, wow.
I love it! The flavor! Wow. The flavor!
That's great.
But, you know, you get this up to eight and then hand it to him and then...
Hit him, ping him, you know, for one. There you go. Here's the cat.
That's savage.
Okay, but how about this? How do you feel about this as a sideboard card in a deck that's not a combo deck? So if I'm playing, you know, my white Heliod combo deck and I bring this in against a red aggro deck or like a maybe a big like green creature aggro deck. Giving you nine attacks worth or, you know, nine creatures coming through worth of a life gain?
Yeah, basically. It's good early on.
I don't like it because, right, it's like, couldn't you, isn't there a better life gain spell than that? Or, like, a better, I don't know, board wipe or something?
Yeah, it's hard to say. And I think that, you know, the other thing I think about there is that they've already got Gideon, so you could still have it in play and then lose it, and then you don't even lose because you've got Gideon there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That,
then you're just getting a ton of life off of it.
Yeah, Nine Lives and Gideon's another good one. So you can't lose the combo, can't lose the damage. Yeah.
so they you leave the, you know, you leave Nine Lives, they hit you enough to remove the nine lives. Next turn, you play another nine lives under your Gideon.
Nice.
Yeah, perfect. And what the other place I was kind of thinking of is, like, I wouldn't hate having this as a one of in my Lotus Breach sideboard. You know, you just grab it. Like, if you're in a position where a three mana sweeper won't save you, and you go grab this instead, that could buy you a turn or two. Easy.
I'm buying it. I'm getting foils just because it's got a
Couldn't
cat
you
on it.
Just, like, play that thing that gives you an extra turn? The red white instant?
Ooh. Yeah, you can play that with this in play.
No, because you would still lose the game. But I'm just saying, like, if you're with Lotus Breach, right, and you wanted something that gave you an extra turn, the red white instant will give you another turn. You just lose the game at the end of that.
Unless you have Gideon, and then Gideon, you can't lose.
Yeah, I guess we can run that. What's that red white incident I'm thinking of?
Oh.
It's a three mana.
Chance for Glory.
Chance for Glory. So, like, so we run four Chance for Glory, four Nine Lives, four Gideons.
And four Lich's Mask.
I like the way you guys think.
Yeah, all right. I think the episode has peaked right now.
There we go.
All right, yeah, perfect. We are there. I guess the last card we had on our list, I don't know if you guys like this at all, was Barsa's Lieutenant.
Dude, you were supposed to end the episode right there. You can't go into Barsa's Lieutenant when we just talked about killing people with cats, man.
But we were going to do a top five list anyway.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's true. That's true.
All right, so I'll just skip over Barsa's Lieutenant. I think this card.
I think it's good.
Vigilance, protection from multicolored, counters on stuff, mixed tokens. There might be a combo with it. You know,
so it's kind of whenever cool. A creature with a counter on it dies, you get a 2/2, which is kind of cool if you're playing that.
Yeah, your green white skills.
Yeah, but I don't know if that. I'm not sure.
We'll get there. We'll make it happen.
So top five then, guys. Or did you want to talk about reprints real quick, like?
No, let's do a quick top five here. And this is definitely a hard one. I don't think, you know, it's never that easy, but I kind of bounced around with what I liked here.
Yeah, same here. After talking with you guys, I kind of changed my
yeah, list. I didn't change mine, but I'm looking at it after having talked about everything, and I'm like, man, do I still feel good about these top five?
All right, who's first?
I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it.
We're going to start at five?
Yeah.
Why don't you go run through all five of yours and then.
Okay. Yeah, so my top five. So number five, I'm gonna say is the Elder Gargaroth. Now you guys don't like it, but big power. I love it, Timmy. My number four, I would say, is Ghost Pilferer. I like the tempo. I like the card advantage. I like being able to, you know, make it unblockable. I think it'll have a spot in spirit decks. My number three, I'm going to go with Containment Priest. I just think, like we said, it shuts down so many decks. And, you know, it'll punish the ones that can get really broken, you know, like Dredge or whatever, really quick, or Rally. Mm-hmm. And then my number two, I'm going to go with Spark Hunter Masticore, just because I feel like, again, it's really versatile. It's a really good hate bear. And then number one, just because we always underestimates ramp cards. I'm going with Azusa, Lost but Seeking.
No.
Somebody's always going to break it, and I'm just calling it right now. It's going to be broken.
What was your number two or four? Like, what was your fourth one?
I went with Ghost Pilferer.
Oh, what was your two?
Two is the Spark Hunter Masticore.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, that works.
Okay, my number five is Terror of the Peaks. I'll throw a wild card in there. Terror of the Peaks for number five. Number four, I'm going to put... this is tough. I think I'm going to rate Teferi at number four. Mm. And then I will rate Containment Priest at number three.
Okay.
Eliminate at number two. And number one, Azusa, is on my list as well as number one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No play. It's going to see no play at
dude,
all.
Dude, if it doesn't see any play, we should do something. We should like, buy him a burger or something if it doesn't see any play.
Because there's two of us, right? Japan. Yeah.
All right, I probably should have had Eliminate on mine. I think that was a good answer. Mine might be a little wild here because I was thinking about him before the show. I had number five at Stormwing Entity. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of talked it down, so maybe I'm not as high on it now. Maybe that can be Eliminate instead. Four, I had Nine Lives because I'm hyped about it. Three, I had Archfiend Vessel because I do really like those kind of decks. Number two, Garg's Harbinger.
Okay.
Yep. Green Beater.
Yeah, it's the one I've been hyped about. And then I put number one at Containment Priest. Maybe I can talk myself down that. I'll put Garg's Harbinger at number one because I'm the only one who seems to be really excited about it.
I think it's good. I said it was good.
Yeah, it's not number one good, though.
No.
Yeah. Neither is Azusa.
We all had three mana green creatures on our number one. Just two of us are right and the other one is wrong.
Well, hey, I've got two loyal devotions. So.
That's true.
All right, guys. Anything else to add? You know, any crazy predictions?
Well, I mean, I was gonna say, what color do you think makes out the best from M21?
I gotta say white. I like what white got added to it. There's some cool blue cards I want to try. Cool black cheap cards, maybe. Red didn't seem to get a lot.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
It's between white and green.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
There's been too much love for green recently.
Those green mages, man, they're getting what they've always wanted, you know?
Yeah. And of course, you know, we didn't talk about any of the cards that are already in Pioneer. I mean, if that was the case, I'm pretty sure everyone would have had Ugin in their top five as well, so.
Yeah, it would be an interesting card to evaluate if we didn't have it in our set.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any crazy honorable mentions? You want to just be like, oh man, Fierce Empath.
That's an interesting one. No, I don't really have any honorable mentions.
Maybe See the Truth if we can break that. That's the one that you draw three if it's you cast it from the graveyard.
I do like
there's lots of ways to do that.
I like the Cat Lord at three mana.
Okay.
Just to, you know.
Hey, you know I'm going to try and build a Cat Tribal. Hey, yes, I tried to build it last
time. Didn't we already have a Cat Lord at three mana?
Five mana.
With the Companion?
Oh, yeah, that as well. Oh, we have double Cat Lords.
You know, that's exactly what I was saying, though. We don't have... What do we play at one? What's our one?
Like, we actually need two Cat Lords at three.
We're playing, like, Sacred
Cat.
Yeah,
the Sacred Cat's all you got, number one, basically.
What about the guy, the Black Cat? Cultured Familiar, man. Come on.
Yeah, but then you can Abzan there.
Then you run Oven, and, like, that alone, Cultured Familiar and Oven, just, like, there's some decks that just can't beat it. Like, Mono Red just can't beat Cat Oven.
Hey, you know, I had tried a Kahira companion deck that had like Cat Oven, mm-hmm. and you could play the what is the fiend that gets +1/+1 for each creature in your graveyard?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, you can go pretty hard. You can play that. You can play the elemental for two mana. Okay, I can't keep going. I can't name any cards right now. My brain's dead. let's call this episode. All right, let me bring us to the end of our show here. So we are the First Pioneers Podcast. You can find us on Twitter, which is a good way to reach us. I'm at MTG Pioneer on Twitter. You can also find we've got a Discord for the First Pioneers, as well as we're active on the MTG Pioneer Discord and Reddit and Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And you guys can find me on the Discord channel as well if you want to talk, or you can find me on my Twitter at YoSchwenky, which is YoSchwenky. And Jonathan, do you have any shout-outs, any promotions?
Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed actually doing this and talking about Pioneer. It's been nice getting some information from some Pioneer experts. And, you know, so thanks for that. If you out there listening want to contact me, you can do that on Twitter. Medina, Medina _MTG. That's the best place to get me. I'm all over the place, but Twitter, you can always at me and I'll try to respond or at least give you a little like on the tweet. That means I read it.
Okay.
Awesome. That'll bring us to the end of our show. We are the First Pioneers. We keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. And we are going to go take a nap after a long time. Thanks a lot, guys. Great to hear from you. So make sure to reach out to us if you want to hear more.
Bye-bye. Stay safe, everyone.